There's two reasons for this video. One is because I'm going to teach you on the blood, and the other is because I'm upset. You sit in the house of God, and you take from God, and you take from God, and you take from God. Then you say you're angry with God. That really upsets me. Jesus went through all that for you. But you're angry with God because you serve the devil. He's brought you to the place you're at, and you blame it on God. God made the way of escape for everything when Jesus was beat. I have a hard time with anybody says I'm angry with God. And I'm going to tell you where I'm at. If you're a member of this church and you're angry with God, I want you to leave. I do not want you to be in this church, because God has done nothing but bless this church over and over and over again. He's blessed us with abundance of everything. No matter how you have disgraced him, he has blessed. And if you're not being blessed, that's your problem and not God's. Because he surely has made a way of escape. I know none of you would go through that. And like the mother said, why don't you stop this? And I was sitting there, and it bothers me to watch that. I don't like to watch it. But God said he had to take the 39 stripes. He gave his all. What do you give him? Absolutely nothing but cursing him, ridiculing him. You need to do this, you need to do that. No, he doesn't. That did it all. That and going to the cross. And I know today is Palm Sunday. I'll teach about Palm Sunday tonight. But we're going to talk about the shed blood of Jesus this morning, because you have no right to ridicule my Father, his Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the reason why the evil is across this land, is because the church curses God all the time because of the sin nature that they have. I can't help if you have generational curses. I can't help that. And I don't make light of that. But there is a way of escape, and you're choosing not to. Every time you go through deliverance, you hold a little bit back for yourself because you still want to have that little pity party. Jesus had no pity party on that day. He took it all. He took every lash. He carried his cross up the hill. He hung on that cross. And then he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But this body of Christ that we're in today, they do know what they are doing. And they are willfully abusing the blood of Jesus. And I know the Father's upset about it. And I know that I'm upset about it. He told me years ago, I'm taking my Holy Spirit out of the churches because they're trampling over my Holy Spirit and over the blood of my Son. And I'm tired of it. And he's more tired of it today than he was the day he told me that. And if you don't like this, I don't really care. I really don't. I don't like to hear you say that you're angry with God either. I really don't. I don't like it whenever you curse him, because he won't take something away, a habit away from you. That blood has all power in it, and it can set you free from every bondage that you've ever gotten into. You don't use it, you don't care about it, and you stay in bondage. Go ahead, put on the teaching. The blood of Jesus is the foundation of redemption. Jesus said the reason for the cross was for the atonement for sin, and the blood was shed for all infirmities that you would ever encounter. It would be safe for you to say that the blood is the atonement that will last forever. The blood of Jesus is a new covenant between me and mankind. Another thing that I'm upset about is that was love that was being beat to death. That was love that carried the cross up the hill. That was love that hung on the cross. And the body of Christ doesn't love. You can't forgive. You can't forget. You just hold on to everything. Jesus held on to nothing. Even at the cross, he said, forgive them. You weren't beat like that. I really don't care what has happened in your life, because you're not the only one in that boat. Everybody goes through life. Everybody goes through the trials and the tribulations. And I was thinking about my life, and my life has not been easy. My life has been one hell after another, but I know who I serve. I serve Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I know that he took that beating for me, and I know that he hung on that cross for me. I have no right to complain about anything. He sees fit to do what he wants to with my life, and that's fine with me. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 says, This is an important lesson for us today. This is the scripture. Revelation 9:9. This has an important lesson for us today. For under the old system, gifts and sacrifices were offered, but these failed to cleanse the hearts of the people who brought them. This is when you brought your goats and your lambs and things. For the old system dealt only with certain rituals, what foods to eat and drink, rules for washing themselves, and rules about this and that. The people had to keep these rules to tide them over until Christ came with God's new and better way. He came as high priest of this better system that we now have. He went into that greater perfect tabernacle in heaven, not made by men nor part of this world, and once and for all took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, he took his own blood, and with it he by himself made sure of our eternal salvation. And if under the old system the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of young cows could cleanse men's bodies from sin, just think how much more surely the blood of Christ will transform our lives and hearts. His sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey the old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. For by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins, he being perfect without a single sin or fault. Christ came with this new agreement so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders God has promised them. For Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins they had committed while still under that old system. That blood cleansed you from every sin so that you would not go into the hells, the torments of hell. That's what that blood did. What has Satan done for you? Look at yourself. Look at your life. Look at your past. All he did was brought you pain and sorrow. He never brought you anything good, absolutely nothing good. All you ever got from him is pain and sorrow, and all he wants from you is to take you to hell so he can torment you forever. I don't see why you don't get this together. I don't understand why you're sitting around blaming God for what you've done. I really don't. You know, God will say to you, you went down paths that I never wanted you to go down. In other words, you, instead of staying in the path that God set your feet upon, you took a little curve and went into sin. And then you got messed up in that sin, and now you want God to rectify everything. He already did it with the blood of his son, Jesus. God says, the blood of my son, Jesus, is a weapon of warfare that my children never use. I have asked my children to use all the weapons in my word, but for some reason they never think of the blood as a weapon. From this day forth, I want you to never forget the power of the power in the blood of my son Jesus that ran down Calvary's hill. In this blood lies all power and all authority, and in this blood lies the weapon that defeats the enemy at every turn. Hold fast to what you have, little ones, and know that my son Jesus did not hang on that cross in vain. There was a plan and a purpose for everything he went through, and you were always on our minds as we made the final plans of redemption. You need to take this glorious message of the blood to all that you meet. Do you know that there are those sitting in the house this day and this hour that have never heard of the healing powers of the blood of my son Jesus? God goes on to say, I'm expecting you as vessels of honor to take that message to a lost and dying world and church. If my ministers would only teach and preach the truth, there would be so few souls in hell at this given time. My church needs to turn their focus back on my word and the truths hidden in my word. The cross and the blood are right there. They are not explained in parables. Everyone that reads the word for themselves should be able to understand every word in my word. This resurrection time is a time to reflect on the cross and all it accomplished for you and your descendants. As you meditate on this aspect of my word, you will draw deep from the wells of truth, and you shall receive the revelation knowledge all have need of in this given dispensation of time. God said the church focuses on candy and baskets when they should be focusing on the cross. I did not say there was anything wrong with candy and baskets, but my word and the reason for this resurrection time should be foremost and utmost in your hearts and minds. God goes on to say the church has grown cold and indifferent to this portal that is open to them. They have lost all hope simply because everything is starting to look bleak and lost. But did I not tell you to place your eyes upon me and keep them upon me, and I would take care of those things around about you? Mass confusion is settling in all across this mighty nation, and my church does not have the power to encourage a hopeless generation. Why? Because the power is in the blood, and they have not connected with the truth of the blood. Children, when it all settles and you truly see what I have been trying to get across to you, it will be too late. Please abide under the shadow of the Almighty this night, and please use all the weapons of warfare I have supplied you with. Now, I want to stop there because God told me one day years ago, daughter, never forget the blood. The blood has the power for all things. And from that day, I started applying the power, the blood over my children, over my household, over the church, over everything that it pertains to my life is covered with the blood continually. I've even taken the blood and put it on the cars that leave the house so that Satan can't kill anybody that's in those automobiles while they're out on the road. Have you applied the blood over your doorposts? Have you applied the blood over your windows? Has the blood been applied in this church, in the door, over the doors? You know, if you would apply the blood, you wouldn't be sitting around feeling sorry for yourself. You wouldn't be sitting around being full of demons. You wouldn't be sitting around being upset because somebody hurt you. They did. It's over with. Get over it and move on. And that might sound harsh, but you have to get over it and move on. See, the body of Christ is that you want your name out there in the limelight. You want God to use you, but you're inside. You're holding all that ought against other people. What power? You have no power. You have no authority. You have to let go of this junk and move on. I could write 1,000 books about my life and not one of them would have the same story in it. But I forget that junk and I move on. The devil's not keeping me back here. I'm moving on with God and I'm going to do what God's called me for to do. What he's done in my life is nothing compared to the beating that Jesus took from me. Discernment is another, God said, discernment is another weapon of warfare. You must be able to, discernment is another weapon of warfare. You must be able to discern the times and seasons you are in. And right now we're in a season of transition. We're in a season where the enemy has thrown everything he has in hell at the church. And how is the church faring? Not very good. Not very good at all. God said you must be able to discern the wheat from the chaff. You must be able to discern what is truth and what is false. You must discern without a shadow of a doubt that you are mine and the enemy has no place within you. You have to discern without a shadow of a doubt that you are mine and the enemy has no place within you. Do you know why you hate God? Because you don't know God. You don't believe you are part of God. I don't care how much you prophesy. I don't care how many deliverances you've done, you do not know God in all his fullness. You don't understand his love for you, the depth of his love for you, the depravity. You know, all you can think about is what he allowed to happen to you. You can get out of that little mode too, because you allowed it to happen to you, because you would not serve a living God. You sat in the house of God and you still sinned. You mocked God and wanted him to wave a magic wand to get you out of it. He does not do that. He does not do that. God said, children, that house you live in does not have a welcome sign posted for the enemy. And he's talking about your vessel. The only ones welcome into your house is my son Jesus and the Holy Spirit of truth. Anyone else is an intruder and must be evicted immediately. You don't do that. You don't evict the devil when he comes. You invite him right on in. How do you do that? Because you keep entertaining the thoughts he puts in your head. And if you say that's not true, yes it is. Why are you hating people? Why can't you get over your past? It's because the enemy keeps bringing the past into your mind over and over and over again, and you entertain it, and you let him take you right down into his pit. Then God goes on to say, since when did my son die in vain? If you say he did not die in vain, then why do you keep acting as if he did? Since when did my son die in vain? If you say he did not die in vain, then why do you keep acting as if he did? Why do you keep saying you're mad at God? Why are you always blaming him for things that you do wrong? God will not go against your will. He will not. It's up to you to determine who you're going to serve, either Satan or God. You can't serve both. God says, walk in the light while it is still day and accomplish all the works I have set before you. And 1 John 1, 6 and 7 says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, with God, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. That's what the word says. I didn't say that. The word said that. You wonder why your mantle was taken off of you? Because you didn't really love God. You were really not serving God the way you ought. And I've told you over and over again how God told me, if you don't get out of doubt and unbelief, I'm going to remove your candlestick. Do you think you're any better than I am? Do you think you're any better than the people in the Bible were? If he's going to tell me he's going to remove my candlestick, which is my ministry, he's sure going to remove your mantle. But yet you fuss and moan and groan and complain because you wouldn't serve God the way you should have in all holiness and righteousness. And he removed your mantle, so you get all upset. And you're mad at God. Well, big deal. I'm mad at you because you're mad at God. Because you have no right to do that. Brother Aaron said to me one day, I'll never tell you I'm angry with God because I know how you feel about that. And I do, because you're walking all over Jesus. You're walking all over the Son of God who went through all that junk he had to go through just so you could be saved. And you're walking all over him. You're walking all over that blood. And I'm hearing God say, you're blaspheming the name of Jesus over and over and over again. God goes on to say, one of the things my son did was made sure he accomplished everything he was assigned to accomplish. He left nothing undone. Can you say that about yourself? I want you to take time to do an inventory check on yourself during this resurrection time and make sure you're on top of your assignments and you are completing all that you were assigned to accomplish. Are you listening to this? Are you really doing the things God has called you for to do? Or are you too busy feeling sorry for yourself? Have you really admitted to yourself, you know, God, you're right. I did wrong. You didn't. And I'm so sorry. I blamed you. I'm going to take the blame where it belongs, and it belongs on me, because I allowed the enemy to take me down into this camp over and over and over again. You see, I wanted to teach about the blood of Jesus today. Before we go any further into Easter, because if you're not going to get it right today, then don't even celebrate the resurrection. because it's meaningless to you. We have to get ourselves right with God. This thing's all about, what God's doing right now. Getting everything out of you that's not of Him, and to make you a perfect vessel that He can work through. And He told me the other day, He says, total washout time. Right now I'm washing everything impure out of my people. And if they want to keep it, then they're going to not serve me. They're going to go to hell. They've damned their own self to hell. Think about this. Think about it long and hard. You are damning your own self to hell by not getting rid of all the junk that God has shown you is in there. For 2 months now, I've been feeling like some of you in here, you have to go and wash people's feet. You have to go and wash their feet and tell them you're so sorry that you said anything bad about them, and that you're becoming their servant from that moment forth. And if you do that, then you're going to get yourself free from all this junk that Satan has placed upon you. God said, children, I am surely with you as long as you stay close to the cross. You will not falter nor fall along the path I have set your feet upon. Where do you have to stay? Close to the cross. The truth is the truth, and there is no lie in the truth. My word is yes and amen, and there is no lie in me. If you don't know anything else this morning, get this truth into your spirit man and keep it there, and do not deviate to the right nor to the left. A lot of churches right now this morning are serving communion, bringing damnation upon themselves because they're really not walking in holiness and righteousness. And this is why we used to do communion once a month like everybody else did, but God said stop it because it's just become a habit and a practice. It's not what I meant it to be. So we don't do communion. You can do communion at home. If God tells me to do communion, I wanted to do communion tonight. And He said, no, don't do that. See, I'm not going to go against what God tells me to do, no matter what you or anybody else thinks. You can get yourself a little cup of juice and a little piece of bread and have your communion at home. And then if you're not living right, you'll pull damnation upon your own head, and I'm not going to be partaker of it. You know your hearts. God said, I am surely your mainstay, and I will remain your mainstay as long as you're walking this earth. You're my children, and I take care of my own. Keep in mind that my son is not in the grave. He arose, and he is sitting at my right hand, ever interceding for all of our children. We were talking about this coming down, and little Isaiah said, Jesus didn't die. I said, yes, he did, honey. No, he's not. He's alive. I said, yes, he is alive. But he did die, and then God rose him from the dead, and now he's up in heaven praying for you and I. He said, oh, wow. But he didn't want to hear that Jesus had to die. He doesn't know about the whipping, but I'm going to make sure he does know. Because I want him to understand what Jesus went through just for him. God told me one time, anything you read in your Bible, make it very personal. Jesus said, took that whipping just for me. Nobody else, just for me. And if you can look at that like that, you'll look at the Bible differently than you ever have before. Everything Jesus did, he did it just for you. Then if we all think that collectively, we'll truly be a body of Christ. Romans 8:34 said, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who always makes intercession for us. Even though they did what they did to Jesus, Jesus is still in heaven making intercession. Some of you would say, I kill them. I'm not going to pray for them. Just kill them. You're killing your own self when you do that. God said, one day you will walk the streets of gold, and you will rejoice in the fact that I am your maker, and I have prepared a place for you in my kingdom. This is your time to shine for the kingdom of light. This is your time to allow all to see who and what my son Jesus is all about. This is your dispensation of time to bring heaven to earth. Read that again. This is your time to allow all to see who and what my son Jesus is all about. This is your dispensation of time to bring heaven to earth. It's your time to go and forgive somebody who has hurt you. You're sitting around waiting for them to come and wallow at your feet, you dummy. You should be going with the grace of God, asking them to forgive you that you held aught against them. The other day in my house, my son Jimmy did something that wasn't right, and then I yelled at one of the kids, and he told me to quit yelling, and I said, well, when you quit doing what you just did, then I'll quit yelling. And I didn't say it very nice, and he got in his car and he left. And God said, are you going to let this remain? I got on the phone and I called Jimmy crying. I said, I'm so sorry that I got upset with you. He said, oh, that's all right, Mom. He said, I know that you're already upset and I had no right to do what I did. He said, I love you and it's all forgotten. If I wouldn't have done that, do you know what that would have done? It would have ate him up and it would have ate me up and we wouldn't be where we're at today. Why are you not quick to ask forgiveness? Why are you so quick to hold grudges against people? Because your heart's not right. I don't care how much you confess, you know the love of God. No, you don't. Because if you knew the love of God, you wouldn't do the things you do. God goes on to say, remember John the Baptist came preaching repentance and telling all about my son Jesus. My son Jesus came preaching repentance and telling all about me and my love for all humanity. Now it is your turn to go forth preaching repentance and telling all about the love of the Father, the Trinity, and the angelic army. It's your turn. How are you going to do it? Messed up. You cannot go and tell somebody else about the love of Jesus when you're walking around with hate and discord inside of you. God said, this is love walk time. This is the dispensation of time when my love will be seen and shed abroad all across this mighty nation. What's going to be seen? Love. All of a sudden, all the pastors are preaching on love. When they should have been doing it for years and years and years. God said, and this will only happen through my vessels of honor that have paid the price to carry the Shekinah glory. See, when you're sitting around holding grudges against other people, you have not paid no price for nothing. And you're not going to carry the glory. I don't care what you say. You're not going to do it. God said, and this will only happen through my vessels of honor that have paid the price to carry the Shekinah glory. I want to stop here. You know, the other night I was really into myself, upset type thing. And I was really crying out to God. And I said, God, I don't want you to talk to me. But I want you to talk to a prophet that's in the church to me. The very next day I got a prophetic word. And they said, God just came upon me, and gave me this word for you. It answered everything that I was distraught about. Absolutely everything. And I don't get in touch with that person. That's the kind of God that I serve. What kind of God do you serve? Think about this. I love my Father. Always have and always will. He's been nothing but good to me. And all my life I've had hard times, but He's been nothing but good to me. Are you understanding this? God said, children, I am sending you forth with the power of the blood to resurrect those who are lost and dying, those who have no hope for tomorrow, those who have never known the love of a Father. God said, it is your turn, children. It is your turn to bring heaven to earth. Go forth with full knowledge that you have all of heaven at your back and the enemy cannot steal, kill, nor destroy you. See, you all don't believe that. If you believed that, you wouldn't be sitting here messed up. You just wouldn't. Let's talk about seven ways Jesus' blood was shed. Luke 22:44 says, "And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood." Now, if you think that Jesus enjoyed going to that cross, why was he so upset that his sweat became blood? He knew what he was going to go through. He did not want to go through it. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground in Gethsemane, because he was willing to identify himself with the sin of the world. His blood began to flow in drops of sweat. See, it says he was willing to identify himself with the sin of the world. It wasn't his sins. It was your sins and my sins that made him have great drops, sweat, drops of blood. He was sinless. But he knew that he had to go through this so that you could one day sit in heavenly places. Matthew 26:63 said, "But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." So right here, Jesus' own testimony to the high priest convicted him. And so he was sentenced to death. The servants then struck him with fists and rods, and he started bleeding again. Then Isaiah 50:5 said, "The Lord God has spoken to me, and I have listened. I do not rebel nor turn away. This is Jesus speaking in Isaiah. I give my back to the whip and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I do not hide from shame. They spit in my face. The hair of his beard was pulled out." That made blood come out. How about you guys? There is no one of you guys in here would sit and let somebody pull your beard out piece by piece. You pull one hair out of your face and that hurts. Matthew 27:26 says, "Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Christ gave his back to be scourged, plowed with long furrows." You find that in Psalm 129:1-3 and Isaiah 50:6. And Matthew 27:29 says, "When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. So they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." Y'all know what it is if you stick a rose thorn in your hand. How would you like those real long? I have a bush that's beautiful, but has a long thorns in it, and you can't break them. Have them things jammed into your head. This is what he went through for you who hate him and are mad at him. Isaiah 52:13, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." We're talking about Jesus. "Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." They couldn't even recognize who Jesus was after they was finished with him. "These thorns, like long needles, were placed upon Jesus' head and then pressed down into his scalp, losing the appearance of a human being as the blood ran down his face." Matthew 27:35 says, "Then they crucified Jesus and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. They crucified Jesus, piercing his hands and feet with nails." That's the sixth place he bled. In John 19:34, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." After death, a soldier pierced his side, and blood and water ran out. Seven way Christ's blood avails for us. How can you possibly not serve or be angry with a person who did all that for you? Every time you sin, you spit in his face. You walk all over his blood and say, what you did means nothing to me. You were stupid to do it. He didn't do it just for you. He did it for all mankind. According to Hebrews 12:24, Jesus has established a new covenant through his blood, interceding on our behalf to establish his blood covenant with us. And Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. In Christ's blood, we receive life that death cannot conquer. In Christ's blood, we receive life that death cannot conquer. And you can find that in Isaiah 53:12 and in John 6:53-57. The seven ways the blood of Jesus avails for us. Number one is for forgiveness. I have been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 9:22 says, all things are cleansed with the blood, and without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. Number two, cleansing. The blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You can also look at 1 Peter 1:18-19. The third thing is redemption. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. You can also find that in Romans 7:14 and 1 Peter 1:18-19. Then number four is justification by the blood. I am justified just as if I have never sinned. And Romans 5:9 says, much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. You can also find that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. In the fifth place is sanctification. I have been sanctified through Jesus' blood for holy calling and out of Satan's territory by the blood of Jesus. The blood takes us into a holy calling on our life and takes us out of Satan's grasp. In Hebrews 13:12, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. And number six is peace. Peace has been made for me through the blood of the cross. How many people don't walk in peace? You're saying that blood means nothing. It didn't bring no peace anywhere. Yes, it does. Peace inside of you. You know, the world is troubled, but you should be at peace. But I don't see that in the body of Christ, do you? I really do not see that. I see just torment. Nobody's liberated. They're walking around in fear and condemnation. You should be walking around in peace just because of the blood. Colossians 1:19 says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. He's talking about Jesus. The seventh thing is access. I now have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you know if you are bold for Christ, people think that you're a braggart? I don't care what you think. I am bold for Christ because I know who he is. I know what he did for me, and what he did for me was died on the cross. That's all I have to know. And if I know that and I'm secure in that, then I know he'll take care of every other aspect of my life. Are you listening here? You can also find that in Ephesians 2:13-14. Charles Spurgeon once said, many keys fit many locks, but the master key is the blood and the name of him that died and rose again. and ever lives in heaven to save unto the uttermost. Many keys fit many locks, but the master key is of blood, in the name of him that died and rose again and ever lives in heaven to save unto the uttermost. The blood of Christ is that which unlocks the treasury of heaven. Never forget the blood. Never forget the blanket of blood. We sing songs about the blood of Jesus, but it doesn't mean anything to us. We just sing it. You don't even understand what you're even singing about. You need to start understanding that the blood of Jesus was shed for many, many reasons. But the most important reason is so you could be free from your sins and one day sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If you ever look at Satan, all he ever does is mock what Jesus does. He copycats. He has no original idea whatsoever. If you really look at all the different things that he does, you can see where Jesus did it first. And then Satan copied it. Is that what you are, a copycat? Are you not absolutely nothing? So you have to do what the devil does so that you can look like something in this world? Well, that something's going to take you straight to hell. I've been to hell. And I'm telling you right now, I'm going to forewarn you, you really don't want to go to hell. And I'm here to also tell you this morning, if you don't get it right during this Passover, you're never going to get it right. You are going to go to hell. And I'm hearing God say, some of you are lingering around the cesspool too long. And you're forging for yourself a destination you're not going to like once you get there. This season is whenever we do dancing and rejoicing and, you know, do our palm leaves and everything else. But God said it's different this year. If you can't understand what Jesus really did at this time of season, you're not going to make it. Serious. This is a very serious time we live in. And you need to take a good long look at yourself. And you need to finally come to the grips of, hey, I'm the problem here. Not Jesus. Not my friends. Not my mother, my father. But I'm the problem because I don't know who I am in Christ, even though I've been taught. And I don't want to walk in love. See, that love is a decision. You know that, don't you? I don't want to walk in love, and therefore I'll walk in hate and discord. And I'm going to blame everybody else because I've made the decision to walk that way. I can't help if you have generational curses. My Lord, my father's mother was a full-blooded Indian. You don't think I don't have generational curses? But I'm not going to walk in them. I plead the blood of Jesus over them all the time. And I'm not going to let them manifest themselves. They can just straighten right to the pit where they came from. I would not be sitting here today if I didn't know about the blood of Jesus. The other night, I was all night just walking, pleading the blood of Jesus and pleading the blood of Jesus and wrapping myself in the blood of Jesus until my body came in line with the blood. I thank you all for praying for me, but I have to do my part too. And my part isn't going to bed and laying there saying, well, I might die, I'm asleep. My part is to get up and pray. Pray like I never prayed before. Always cover myself with the blood. So what are you doing? What are you doing with your life? What does the blood really mean? I know the blood didn't mean much to you. But now, what are you going to do with the blood? You have to start asking yourself these questions. And I'm going to be honest with you that God's really mad with the members of the Lighthouse Church because you should be walking differently than what you're walking. And you're walking the way you're walking because you like it. You like the attention. You like what it does for you. And that's not pleasing to God. I'm hearing God, God said it's resurrection time for each one of you. You need a resurrection. Resurrect your mindsets. God kept telling you he wanted to give you a new mindset. You didn't allow him to do that because if you did, you wouldn't be in the mess you're still in today. You know what's wrong here? People don't stay at the altar. And I don't mean in the church. I mean at home. They don't stay at the altar long enough crying out to God for freedom. They want somebody else to do all the fighting for them. it is you that has to do the fighting. I remember hearing Brother Larry out in the study all night long, commanding spirits to leave him, crying out to God, deliver me, I don't want to go to hell. He fought and he fought and he fought. And he's sitting in heavenly places now with Christ Jesus, the man he loved. What are you doing, though? What are you doing with the blood? That's a question that God has before you this morning. Before you can partake of any of the rest of the Easter themes that we go through, you're going to have to make a decision this morning. Is the blood worth it? Was really what God did on that cross, before the cross, on the cross, worth it? And if it's worth it, then you're going to start changing your mindsets, and you're going to start changing your lifestyle, and you're going to quit blaming God first and then everybody else for what you yourself took yourself into. Amen. You know, the altar of your heart is open right now, and God really wants to pour the blood of Jesus over your hearts, because your hearts have become cold and indifferent, and he wants to change your hearts right now. If you allow him to, he wants to come in and change your hearts. He doesn't want to hear your words. He just wants you to allow him to come in and wash all that mess off of your heart. So it won't be cold and indifferent any longer, but it'll be soft, pliable, warm. And it doesn't matter what you have to go through. You'll say, thank you, Jesus, that you took that beating for me, that you carried that cross up Calvary's hill so I can be free. And Father God, we thank you and we praise you for all those who are watching, listening, that Father God, they truly, truly, truly submit their hearts to you, and that they receive the blood of Jesus the way it should be received, full of love. And Father God, I thank you that you allow us to participate with your Son at this time of the year. I thank you, God, for your Son who was so willing to go through all the torment he had to go through just so we could be saved, set free, washed, cleansed by that precious blood, and one day be seated in heavenly places with you. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm hearing God say it's liberation time if you really want to be liberated.